Hiya, it's really nice to be here. Yeah, I do the little waffle bit at the beginning, and Alan will give you the more serious, meaty stuff. But, you know, one of the passions that I have is just to see Father God's heart breaking out over us. And I just feel overwhelmed this morning. I think we had that word. I better put the microphone up, hadn't I? Father's heart overwhelming you. And I've got a series of questions I want to ask you. The topic we were going to talk on is rewriting your story. How does the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how do they engage with us to rewrite our stories personally and corporately and for our communities that we live in, the communities that we work in? So one of the questions I was going to ask you is, do you know what your life's purpose is about? I'm sure if you've been part of a church or you've walked with God for a long time, you're very familiar with that verse in Jeremiah. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, to bring good to you. And the word I really felt for you guys was flourish. This is a season of flourishing. When I looked around this morning, I saw a couple of people sitting up there, and I suddenly felt my heart and my spiritual eyes see, someone is sitting up there. Actually, that's a down payment of the whole place being filled. It felt like there's a flourishing coming. You know, that you're coming into a season. So what do you see? What do you see at the moment is very important. So going back to my first question, you know, God has got plans and he's got purposes. Now, I've been in a charismatic type church for nearly 40 years. I have heard so many messages on what's your destiny? What's God's purpose for your life? Find out the purpose and the destiny for your life and throw yourself into it. Now, last year I hit 60 and I'm actually really happy. I actually really like being in my 60s. There's a lot of things you don't have to worry about anymore. And probably a few to look forward to. And when I turned 60 on that day, I thought to myself, have I actually lived out the plan and the purpose for my life? I don't really feel my life has, you know, I haven't been a Heidi Baker. I haven't fed thousands and thousands of children. I've been a mum, and now I'm a grandmother. I've been a teacher. I've, you know, been in church leadership, but nothing's been, in a way, wow. And I thought to myself, have I actually missed it? Have I actually missed this great plan and this great purpose for my life? So I said to Father, have I actually missed this? You know, is it still coming, or when am I going to have this amazing plan, destiny, whatever? And just spending a bit of time with him that day, I felt him say to me, but who are you, Lizzie? Who have you been? And who are you now? And what are you growing in? And I thought, actually, the only theme that I've had in my life is that I have wanted to experience the love and the goodness of God in all its fullness. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 18. And that was the first time I ever felt God's love tangibly on me. And in my head, I had these words, I'll never, ever doubt again that you love me. And we've had our ups and we've had our downs. There's been plenty of those. But his love and his goodness have been with me. And the last few years, I've been very aware that God's been saying to me, I want you to live like there's a bubble around you, the bubble of the goodness of God. So what's inside of me is around me. So when I'm out in the supermarket, when I'm out with people, when I'm at work or whatever, people, what are they bumping into in me? What are they bumping into? What do they bump into in you? And what is it you want them to keep bumping into? And so that's what I've been concentrating on. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about, there's been a big thing in the church, particularly coming from the Bethel church, if you've heard of that, of the word supernatural, that we have to live supernatural lives. And I don't know about you, I find that word quite tricky, supernatural, because it tends to conjure up, you know, magic and wizardry and all that sort of stuff. But I looked it up in the dictionary recently, and actually the first definition is that the supernatural is an aspect of God. Doesn't say a God, it says God. And the second one is it allows the miraculous to happen. And the third definition is occult. So I felt like, yeah, that's what I want. I want people to bump into me and experience God. So just to illustrate this, I may have shared this here before, but it's a good story, and I think good stories are... There's a seed in the story. That's another Bethel thing. If you tell a story, there's a seed. And if you want that seed, you take it and go, I want that one in me. Grow it so it happens again. So a few years ago, when I was just really starting this journey, I went down to Waitrose. You've got Waitrose here, have you? If I say that down south in Eastleigh, everyone goes, woo, Waitrose. So I was in Waitrose, and I was in a hurry, as you always are, and the queue, why do I always choose the slowest queue? And the lady at the till, I realised, is crying. I'm thinking, oh. I thought, well, there were two people in front. I thought, well, they're bound to ask her what they are, what's up. But we are living in the south, where everyone politely ignores you. So they did their shopping, they put their stuff through the till. Did they ask her? No. So I only had half a dozen items. I thought to myself, let's just do the same thing. Let's just go through the till. And then you feel the Holy Spirit, don't you? Now, one thing I've realized is that I do not respond enough to the nudges. My life is so full of getting things done that I've lost those nudges. And I think if we, in a simple way, to get back into living supernaturally would be to respond to nudges. And not rationalize it so much. So I get to the till. I say to her, oh, I notice you're really upset. Is there anything? I said, I'm a Christian, and is there anything I could pray for you about? And she went, oh. She said, yes, my boyfriend's just left me. She said, I'm coming up 40. I'm not married. I don't have a family. And today, Waitrose told me that they don't want me on the manager program. And she said, I just feel my life is, and I'm not going to say that word, because I promised Rupert I wouldn't swear in church. Anyway, her life was, you can imagine. So I said to her, well, I'm part of a church, and we love to pray for people that are facing really difficult situations. Would you mind if I asked me and my friends to pray? And she said, no, no, that'd be really great. She sniffed, and, you know, I went on. So I put it on our prayer chain, and we prayed for her. Didn't think anything else about it, really, after a while. About 9 months later, I'm now in John Lewis, which, as you may know, is attached to Waitrose. In Southampton, we've got this amazing one. It goes up three flights, and you get to the top, and there's a cafe, and you can sit, and it's lovely. So I'm going up these escalators, and I get to the top one, and as I'm going up, this lady in a navy uniform, navy suit, is coming down. And as she passes me, she sees me and she goes, you, she said, stay at the top. So someone from church I know. So I'm up at the top and up she comes and I realise it's the lady from Waitrose. And she said, you prayed for me, didn't you? And I said, yeah, you're the lady from Waitrose. She said, well, look at me. She said, I'm on the John Lewis Management Programme. And she said, I think you'll like this. She said, have you heard of Alpha? So I said, yes. She said, well, a friend of mine said, oh, someone prayed for you. Do you fancy coming and learning a bit more about that God? Now, I think God showed me that to say, when you plant a seed in someone else's life, I am watching over it. It was wow. So my encouragement to you is start taking up the nudges. I'll say one more thing. And something God's been challenging me with is, what do you see? So now I've been here, I've seen your place full, okay? I saw it and I felt God showed it to me. Now something has happened inside of me to create faith to pray for you guys that this is going to happen soon. Okay? I've now got faith. You may not have faith yet. I've got faith because I saw it. Now, a few weeks ago, I love being with children because I was a primary teacher. And I haven't really grown up much. I like things simple. And they are, you know, they just tell it like it is. So I'm in with our primary, the junior lot, we call it. That's like 7 up to 11. And there's 20 of them. And they're a little bit what we call wild. There's quite a few of them that are a little wild. You know, standing on the table shouting is not an unheard of event. And they've asked me if I will do Living by Faith with the children. I'm like, Living by Faith with children? And they said to me, yes, you could use the mustard seed story. But I think a lot of the things that we do with the children don't really make sense to them. You know, you tell them a story and then they're supposed to think that if they've got faith. But I don't know if they really know what faith is. So I felt God say to me, ask them what they're worried about and what do they see. Now, we've had some words this morning about people being overwhelmed. So this is what the children did. Jesus said, be like a child. So if you don't feel it's too childish, do this either now or when you get home. So I said to the children, we did have a tree and I put a mustard seed on it. And I said, what are you worried about? What's on your heart? Because one thing God's been saying to me, which I'm going to be chatting to the children's workers later, is about what do children carry? You know, they're all sitting over there. What are they carrying? They're a part of our family. And I don't think we've been, I mean, I include our church family in this. I don't think we're very good at knowing what this younger part is carrying. What are they hearing from God? I don't know if we've really tapped into that. So I said to them, draw a heart as a leaf. And whatever you're worried about at this moment in time, write it on the leaf, okay? And then we're going to spend some time asking God to show us what he sees about our worries. What does he see? And put that picture in our mind. So I said, if you want to share it, anything, then we'll do some practice. So two of the children, a boy and a girl, different families. One said, my mum's been looking for a job and she's been looking 6 months and we desperately need it. And another boy said, yeah, my dad's looking for a job too. So I said to the little girl, I said, so what can you see? What picture is God putting in your head? And she said to me, I can see my mum packing up her lunchbox and going out the door. I said, right. So that's what God's shown you. Now, this is what faith is. When God shows you something, you now know it's going to happen. So that's what we call faith, because you're now believing that will happen. And the little boy said, I see my dad getting into his car with a briefcase. I said, great. So I said, now, we're not going to ask God. Instead, we're going to speak out what he showed us. We're going to make a declaration, because he's already said he's got a plan for something to happen. So we did that. We did all the things. We stuck them on. Some of them spoke it out loudly. Some did it quietly. Now, this is where God is a good God. And he always says to me when I say that, why do you always sound surprised? I'm surprised when you answer quickly, God. He didn't hear that. And by the following Sunday, the mum phoned me to say she'd had an interview about 4 or 5 months previously. And they said to her, do you still want the job? It's yours. And she actually said to me, so I'll be getting my lunchbox out and back. I thought, yes, that's what God said. And then amazingly, the dad said to me, I know you prayed for me last week. I have got this amazing job with a charity. It's quite influential in the nation. And he said, that came through last week. Two answers to needs, because they saw something. So my question to you is, what are you seeing? And if you don't have anything in your life, what do you see for the church community here? Because with the word flourish, I got the word creativity. There's creativity going to be expanded and released more, whatever. There's creativity. And if you look the word creativity up, it says, not accepting the status quo, but finding a way to change it. So not accepting what it's like now, but how can we be creative to change it? I haven't got time to get into that. What's that gonna? Oh, yeah. So I've just got to read one or two of these. Just got to read one or two out. So what are children concerned about? Oh, there was a gorgeous one here. God, is my nibbles, that's a guinea pig, is he living and okay in heaven? Oh, that is. Oh, one of the children said to me, Lizzie, every night when I go to bed, I pray for people who sleep on the street. So I said to him, so what is God showing you? What's the picture? And he said, I see families going out on the street, taking those people by the hand and taking them into their houses. Now, I think that's really powerful. So I actually said to him, I think when you grow up, you're going to be involved in doing that, helping that to happen. Other things will make you cry. There was one from a little, I don't know who it was, they didn't write their names on. It says, please God, will you remind my daddy to spend time with me? Now, I really felt that could be a word here, not for someone with children under 18, but for a dad with grown-up children. Doesn't matter how old you are, there's still a cry in your child's heart to spend time with you. And I think you've said to yourself that they don't need you anymore. But that is a cry from their heart for you. So spend some time. And before I just pass on to you, There's an amazing church in Ireland, and I don't know if you've heard of him, Alan Scott. He says, the church changes the possibilities for the city because the church is the only community with all authority. Now, Rupert, I felt this was a word for you, that there is authority handed to you from now on, that you are going to explore what it means to have all authority in the city in a way that you've never experienced before. And you are going to find ways to explain to people how to bring heaven to earth, what we've been singing about, how we bring heaven to earth with authority. I think we've had a phase in the church of bringing heaven to earth, but I don't think we've understood what authority is. And I feel that you're key in unpacking that. And we'd like to learn from you too, because I just really feel that. I just feel there's revelation for you that's not going to be just for here, but it's going to be revelation to be shared in the wider church. So, you know, I just say that to you. There are mums here, and I thought of you, Kath, last night. Who else is a mum that packs up lunchboxes, or might do? I felt, do you want to stand? I don't normally do that, but we don't see you otherwise, and it's good to see you. So if you don't mind standing, if you're a dad and you pack up lunchboxes, I know some dads do, actually. I'm being very feminist here, or sexist, or whatever. Hooray, as a dad. I was thinking of the story of the little boy who had the lunchbox, the loaves and the fishes. He opened up a way for Jesus to do a miracle. But it wouldn't have happened if you guys hadn't packed the lunchbox. And I sense God saying, when you pack the lunchbox over this next week, if you could do it at least for a week, but pack it in such a way that says, my child is going to open up the miraculous for others in their lives as they use their lunchbox. Okay? And never, never think that you're just a mum or a dad in the kitchen packing up a lunchbox. Okay? That is not how Father sees you, because there's a miracle in your hands. I felt for you, Kath, that you are a miracle bringer, and God's opening that up more in you. You're a miracle bringer. Thanks, guys. You want to sit down? And, you know, Alan Scott talks about seeing the city and rewriting its story. Okay? I'm looking at you over there, Ash. I just see that you're someone who connects heaven to earth in a very powerful way, and you're going to get insights about the city that you need to share, because it's rewriting their story.
Each of us is part of a story, a big story, and we can feel on days quite helpless. We feel like the story leads our lives, we feel we're subject to the events around us, we may feel like political events, or we may feel that Brexit, or our health, or our friendships, or our job, we just may feel helpless. We may feel the story is writing us rather than we're changing the story. And often the hero of our story is us, not because we're heroes, but because it's all about us. And that's where the mistake is, that we make ourselves the center of the story. And in a strange way, that is unhelpful. We feel driven by it. We feel out of control. We feel like we are passive contributors to the inevitable, the bigger story. So the question is, can we influence or even rewrite the story? And I hope you've heard from Lizzie, yes, we can. And we do that by agreeing that actually we're not the hero of the story, that Jesus is. And so we start to agree with God's story. We bring our lives into alignment with, we start to agree with what God says, we start to agree with what heaven is saying, or what heaven looks like, or what heaven, and I'll cover that a little bit more in a second. So we start to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. We say, we want on earth what it is in heaven. So we begin to think, well, what is it that we see? And as we begin to see what God is showing us, so that begins to help us to rewrite the story. And this thing about authority, Matthew 16, 19, I don't know whether you've visited this at all recently, but Jesus says to Peter, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. To forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. There is an authority that we have. Now, if you read on a bit later in that story, it's in Matthew, you then have a few moments later, Peter rebukes Jesus. Doesn't matter what it's about, but in the New Living Translation, he says, God forbid. And Jesus says, get behind me. So he's basically beginning to exercise this authority, but he's doing it wrong. He's saying, I forbid this. And Jesus said, no, you can't forbid this. That's why he's so strong in his rebuke of Peter, is because actually Peter is using the authority in the wrong way. But the point I want to make out is that actually Peter had authority. You have authority. I have authority. And what we can do is quite amazing if we exercise that authority. And we can do it very simply, very easily. We just need to realize and start to exercise it. We're a church, I believe, that wants to move with the Holy Spirit. We want to live life supernaturally. And I don't know what about you, but we tend to come to Sunday meetings and Sunday gatherings or church gatherings, and we think that that's where we're going to get our supernatural sort of peace. That's where we're going to get the sort of the boost. That's where the supernatural happens. And actually that we're getting robbed, because this is not the place where it all happens. If we come with that expectation that, and it doesn't happen, we go away disappointed for a week. And I want to give you a number of, there are many ways in which we can release the supernatural in our day by day, but that is what we should be experiencing. It's not just on once a week. It should be moment by moment that we're living in and experiencing heaven on earth, the supernatural being released in the everyday, in the normal. We see the supernatural released in all kinds of ways in Scripture. The birth of Jesus is a supernatural event. Dreams are a supernatural event. Prophecy is supernatural. Good news, the gospel, is supernatural. It's an amazing, amazing, miraculous thing that's happening there. And so when we align with all of those things, when we bring those things into being, we see the supernatural released, and we actually, that attracts the presence of God. And as we attract the presence of God, he comes into the story and rewrites it. So that's how the story is rewritten, is as we bring Jesus into the story. There's a church that we got involved in 3 years ago in Dartmouth. I have this dream, it's a wild dream, that I'm going to be involved in seeing 50 churches planted in the southwest of England. And it's on days I think, what on earth are you talking about? Where on earth did you get that from? So we started with one. This church was six people, all over the age of 70. Five of them have died, and the youngest one is still alive. But the church is now 30 people. In 3 years, we put a couple in, and in 3 years, we've seen that church grow. And this last weekend, they've totally changed the building. I won't go into the story now, but they are rewriting the story. They're part of a circuit, a tool-based circuit, of 10 churches. And they are growing. This particular church is the only one that's growing. It's the only one that's rebuilding. It's the only one that's changing. And it's creating this weekend, it started a space where the community and church can connect. And they had this vision of creating a coffee house, a coffee place for the church and the community to connect. And they've seen healings, they've seen provision, they've seen miracles released. And one of them was that when they announced this vision back in December, that we're going to do this, this church of 30 raised 20,000 in one weekend. And you think, wow. So there's a sense of rewriting the story is going on there. And every single one of us is a supernatural minister of the gospel. Every single one of us, as we talk about the love of God and how much he loves every single one of us, we can bring that good news in all kinds of different ways into people's lives. So I just want to give you 7 ways, just briefly, but there's one I want to focus on, which is the faith thing. But I want to give you 7 ways in which you can see the supernatural released in the day-to-day. And they're very simple things, and you could probably go away and find another 40. So don't limit it to these 7. Just think, how many others can I find? So the first one is a very much an Ignite one, if you've been on the Ignite course. It is this, it is agreeing with what God says about you. What does God say about you? What does God say about us? When we agree with what God says about us, that releases the supernatural. So my favorite verse on this one is Colossians 1:22 in the Passion Translation. It says, he sees you as holy, flawless, restored. Holy, flawless, restored. That's what God sees. Do I agree with that? When I begin to align and agree with what God says about me, that releases the supernatural. That changes everything. That rewrites the story. That takes me out from being a passive individual to thinking, actually, God loves me. God loves me. God thinks I'm amazing. God is actually for me. He is for every single one in this room. Every person that we encounter, God encounters and says, looks at that person and says, you're amazing. So you may be here for your first time today, and you may even not have a clue what's going on here today, but God says, you're amazing. And he loves you. And he wants you to know how much he really loves you. And he wants you to receive that love. He wants you to feel that love. He wants you to know how important you are to him. If you could accept that, that would change your life. That would release heaven on earth. That would bring you into a whole different story, a whole different relationship, to understand God's love isn't just this idea, it's a reality. And it's a reality that can change our lives if we agree with it. So there's someone here that needs to know that. And if you say, yes, okay, I believe you love me, I want to agree that love is a real thing, that you're speaking to me about it now, that I'm not rubbish, I'm not this mess, I'm not this horrible person that I think I am, but actually I am what you say about me. That releases the supernatural. The second thing that I believe helps release the supernatural is when we speak out God's word, when we speak out the prophetic. Lizzie's been speaking out words. That releases the supernatural. It changes things. So the lunch boxes, that will change something as we hear and receive that authority for Rupert. That changes things as we hear and receive that. Words of knowledge release the supernatural. They are creative words. We are creative. Every single one of us is made in God's image, and we are creative beings. We can make things. We can create things. Now, I want you to say to me, I am creative. I am creative. Okay, say it again. I am creative. It sounded different to what I thought it was. I said. Anyway, say it one more time. I am creative. Great. I used to think, and now I play the piano, and I've played the piano most of my life, but I always used to say I wasn't creative because I couldn't draw very well. And I had this sort of very narrow view of what creativity was, that it was about being an artist, that I couldn't draw very well. But actually, I suddenly realized, probably 15 years ago, I was pretty creative. I did all sorts of wild things that were fairly creative. And then I thought, well, why have I all these years thought I wasn't creative? Because I can play the piano. That's creative, isn't it? So it's so easy to believe a lie about who we are and what we are. And in that, again, we're robbed. But we are creative. And when we speak, we can bring things into being, particularly when we speak what God says. There's a lovely scripture, Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9. It says this, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. For when he spoke, the world began, and it appeared at his command." That suggests to me that out of his amazing love, God dreamed, he planned, he imagined, and then spoke, and it came into being. And I think, if God did that, it's the same for us. Maybe not be on that scale, but it is the same for us. Lizzie gave a word a couple of years ago back about second pressing. I won't go into the detail of it, but it changed a lot of people's lives, particularly the older group in the church. They began to think, my life is not over. It changed their lives. It unlocked hope for them. I was in Maidenhead, both of us were in Maidenhead, talking to a group, and I just said, we can bring words of knowledge, and that can create something. It can actually change something just by saying it. And I said, there's someone here who's got problems. It's like you've got rheumatism in your hands, but it isn't rheumatism, but it's very, very painful. And as I said it, this lady put her elbows on this table, and these hands started to go red. And she was just sort of stunned, looking at these hands. I think she was just caught up. What on earth is going on here? Just by saying that God was healing and doing something, suddenly that created something that wouldn't have happened otherwise if I hadn't said it. I was at our Sholing congregation in Southampton, and I just sensed that there was someone there that had a headache. I didn't even have a clear idea of what it was, whether it was a migraine or whether it was a headache or whatever. I just said, there's someone here with pain. And it was instantly healed. She stood up and said, it's just happened, this moment. I've been in absolute agony, and suddenly it's gone. We have authority. We have the ability to release the supernatural just by speaking out words. And we can do that anywhere. It doesn't have to be in meetings. My cartilage was healed in my knees through a word. I was in Guildford recently, and I had a word about hands again. And this lady had problems with her. She's a physio, and she wasn't able to use her hands to do the stuff. And she was instantly healed in that moment, in just bringing that word. So we can start to speak out what God says. And that can release the supernatural. And God is releasing healing here this morning. I think there is someone here who has a headache that God wants to release the healing to you for that now. So you really receive that. You don't need prayer. You just receive the healing now because the word is creative. There is someone here who has a problem with your right. It's not a cartilage. I think it's your right, whatever that bone is. Kneecap, that's it. There's something there that's causing problems, and God's healing that now. So receive that. As we speak words like that, we can see the supernatural released. But faith is the third thing that releases the supernatural. Now we know the scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. In essence, it is agreeing that God loves us and that He is good. If we believe that God loves us and He is good, faith will come and we can speak those things out. Now, I often find myself distracted by details, things that get me down, things that actually don't suit me, things that I'd rather not do, or things that annoy me. Do you know there are things that press buttons and I get caught up with those things and I miss what it is that's going on? And that's one of the things that really undermines faith, because I miss what God is saying because I'm getting hung up on something totally different. But it's the journey of faith that pleases God, and that's what I need to come back to again and again and again. And it's the journey of faith that releases the supernatural. Peter, the disciple of Jesus, steps out of the boat and walks on the water. That's the step of the journey of faith. That's what pleases God. The act of stepping out, the act of going, is what releases things. It rewrites the story. And it's not just people in Bible days. As we step out and go, it releases things. It's about possibilities. It's not about guarantees. Faith isn't about guarantees. Faith is about stepping out. But in stepping out, we release the miraculous. In stepping out, we see something released that otherwise wouldn't be. Over a number of years, I've mentioned that I've been praying for and believing. I've seen 45, 50 churches released in the Southwest. I heard a word probably about 15, 20 years ago where someone said, go west. Now at the time, actually it was probably about the time I started coming north to Edinburgh. And I heard it and I didn't see anyone go. And I just thought of, and it came a number of times, go west, go west. And I didn't see anyone go. So when it came, the opportunity came for me 5 years ago, I thought, do you know, I'm going to go. I'm going to go west and see what's possible. And that's where, as I went, I began to see that God wanted to do something in the southwest of England. And as I went, I began to see things that I didn't see by sitting at home. I had to go to see what was possible. I had to go to these places to see what was possible. And as I went, people began to offer me churches. And the first one was this one in Dartmouth. I've now been offered, we've now got two more churches in the last 9 months that we've placed people into. One's in Tynmouth and one is in, which is the other end of the Torbay area, and the one's in Linton, which you've probably never heard of, but it's on North Devon, up near Lee Abbey, if you've been to Lee Abbey. And we've got people in there. We've planted them in there. But since January, I've been offered two, maybe three more. And every time, I have to go and visit those churches. I can't just sort of say, oh, thank you, that's great. I've got to go. Unless I go, it's not part of the faith journey for me. So I have to go. And when I go, it's like I get downloads of what is possible, or I see things, and I begin to understand what could be. And I enter into a different story. I've been offered a church down in Plymouth, and the story of this church in Plymouth is an amazing one. Whitfield, back in whenever it was that he was around, was traveling to America. He was on this boat traveling from Portsmouth, and they were stopping off at Plymouth, and the captain threw him off the boat because he didn't want any more of his crew to get saved. Okay, so, and not only did him throw him off the boat, but he actually set an assassin to kill him. So this assassin, being very polite English sort of assassin, decided he wanted to meet Whitfield. And in meeting Whitfield, he got saved. And he planted this church. And this church is the one that I went to have a look at. I thought, wow, what a story. Isn't that great? And this church grew to something like 600 in about the first 5-10 years. But it was basically through Whitfield, Assassin. You know, you just think, I want more of that. Anyway, so I went down. And I've seen possibilities in, not the Assassin bit, but, you know, the Salvation bit, the supernatural bit. But in going there, something in me has been, I've seen all kinds of things happen, but I have to go. And I think for you, you need to go. You need to do the faith thing. There's a scripture in Philippians that says this: I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. In the going, there is that sense of release that I don't experience in not going. I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Faith releases the supernatural. We've seen that in the supernatural release of jobs. Lizzie's mentioned a couple there. This week, I saw another job release. This guy, I texted someone and said, so has he got a job yet? No, he's applied for 250, but he's still not got a job. I said, okay, prayed. He had a job the next day. You know, is that, it's the case of stepping out and taking that risk. I had a guy who approached me just before Christmas who said, I want to talk to you about death. I've got cancer, I've got brain tumor, or brain tumors numerous, and I'm dying. I just want to know what death is like. Can you tell me about death? So we talked about death, but I said, I really come not just to talk to you about this. I want to pray for you. So I just prayed for him, laid hands on him. 3 weeks ago, I was told that there is no sign of any cancer. No sign, no chemical signs, anything in him. So he's... something miraculous has happened there. And that's just by going, responding to what I felt God say that I should do. And I believe that I could tell you story after story of God breaking in just by taking that step of faith. So that's the third thing. I'm just going to quickly tell you the other four, but they're very simple. The fourth one is tell stories of what God has done, not what he hasn't done. Tell stories about what he has done. And do it with thanks, with gratefulness. Do it in such a way that you're actually celebrating it. Imagine, I mean, in time gone by, the Pentecostal church wrote this magazine, Redemption Tidings, in order to tell the stories. And they put crutches and things on the wall. Imagine all these stories that I'm telling you. There were pictures scattered around the room. You came in to this room every time you came in, you saw the stories of what God had done. Imagine that at home. Imagine that on your Facebook page. Every time something happens, you put something on your Facebook page to celebrate what God has done. And imagine how that seeds lots more of the supernatural. So telling stories. Generosity releases the supernatural. And I'm not talking just about finances. We so often live with this poverty mindset. We live in that mindset. But if we can find ways of being generous and enjoying that generosity, it will make a huge difference and release the supernatural. I do something with, I cut my neighbor's hedge, and I quite enjoy cutting a hedge. I also cut the lawn in front of our buildings. There are four houses, and in front of it there's an area of green, and I cut it. And I enjoy doing that. But what I actually is the challenge is the rubbish that's on this green. I could think, well, that's people's rubbish. I could leave it there and just let it gather. But I'm not obsessive about it, so I just want to clarify that. But when I see rubbish, I probably will think, oh, that needs tidying up. And at some point, I will do something with it. That isn't what most people would do. But if you can have that generosity of heart, that releases the supernatural. It releases something in you as much as it releases things in other people. Worship releases the supernatural. And it's not just about singing songs. It's the way we give ourselves to God. It's the way we give ourselves to Jesus. And the last thing is praying releases the supernatural. The Thy Kingdom initiative that took place last year and that you're joining in this year, I haven't got the facts. I didn't come with the facts in my mind, but I just thought I'd tell you this morning as an encouragement to pray, is that after that initiative, there are an amazing number of people that we saw saved right across the nation that we believe were as a direct response to that initiative. So that isn't the only thing that we're praying for, but I would say do get involved, because as we pray, we can change things. Our prayer chain changes things. It's amazing. We can change history. It's actually quite dangerous when we get to pray what we might do. It's quite frightening what we could do in a good way. So we need to start believing that prayer releases the supernatural, because it does. So those are seven things that I'm. But the point I want to underline is, as we engage with God, that releases the supernatural in our every day, in our every moment. So as you go out of here, as you eat a meal, as you're at work or whatever, find ways in which you can, in every moment, release the supernatural, because God wants to bring heaven on earth. Amen? This will stand. Let's close our eyes and just put our hands in front of us. Lord, I pray you'd release the anticipation of what that means, that heaven comes to earth. And that in our lives, in our hands, we would carry with us the sense of the inbreaking of heaven on earth, the manifestation of your kingdom, which is his glory, being released in and through us. There's something that you, every one of you, carries. That's his glory. And the more the supernatural is released, the more you're going to glow. The more you're going to reflect God. The more you're going to change people's lives. The more people are going to bump into you and encounter something about the plan and purpose of God for them. So just receive what it is you need at this moment. Just let him show you just one thing that you could do that may seem very simple, but you can go and see faith released and see the supernatural. If you're wanting to see healing, go and pray for someone. If you want to see salvation, go and speak to someone. If you're here this morning and you actually don't know Jesus, you could encounter that supernatural just by saying yes to Jesus now. Lord, I pray for this church, this community, every individual here, that we would begin to believe what it is that you say about us and enjoy the fruit of all that means. In Jesus' name, amen.